according to the Rambam, certainly according to the Tosfos and the Rosh Vechuli. So he said, perhaps it's a psik reisha of Hashvas Gumos, or we have this idea of mazes afar mimkomo, which might mean mukpone, when your maze is the afar, or might mean muksa. Then we have the smad, which says it's like zera. You know, maybe you'll be master gumos for scavenging, yes. It's a shash and micro passage this week before.
Within
okay, so maybe that, because the hazazos, I guess, because they're cleaning off the floor, because they're sweeping off the loose dirt. Just to fill in, limase, why are the mekilim, why are the riff and the bahag not. Why are the Rif and the Bahag not worried about these things? Right? So why are they Paka not worried about all these different problems? So they haven't answered everything. Here they say it's not a psik reisha. Right? Maybe you'll fill in the holes, maybe you won't fill in the holes. What about the problem that it's bone? Because you're certainly moving dirt on a dirt floor, which is changing the shape of the floor. So the Mishnah explained that they'll answer that it's afar tichuach. Afar tichuach is the concept. We have a little later in the Makar sheet. Loose dirt, if it's very, very loose and not really touched the ground at all, just lying there, has no problem with choresh or bona at all. It's not considered to be part of the floor. Just because something dirt doesn't automatically make it part of the floor. The Shabura said there's no problem with choresh or bona in afar tichuach, based on the Gemara, in loose dirt. That's why it's mutter for kids to dig in a sandbox on Shabbos, because that dirt is totally loose and it's not considered attached. So that's how the Mekilim would answer the chashash of, aren't you automatically moving dirt on the floor when you sweep? Saying we're not sweeping so hard to uproot the attached dirt. We're just moving the loose dirt, and loose dirt is not a problem. What about the problem of mukta? So what did the Mishnah say? Why aren't we worried about mukta? Why are the Mekilim not worried about mukta? Right. So, number one, they say, it is tiltol minatzad, right? Al yidei davar achar. We know tiltol minatzad, litzorech davar hamutter, is okay. The Gemara says if there's a stone on my barrel, I can pick up the barrel even though it also has a stone, because it's tiltol through something else. Litzorech davar hamutter. This is actually quite controversial. Not everyone agrees that there's a heter to just sweep something. That's the big halacha l'maaseh. If I have something mukta on my table, can I just take a book and sweep it onto the floor like this to clear the table? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, maybe the Rishonim already saying, but Yosef quotes that it's mutter. Chazanish doesn't like that heter so much. But the Mishnah Berurah brings down another heter as well, which is that you could say it's a graf shalvei, right? Just like there's a heter to take out the bathroom waste on Shabbos because it's disgusting. There might be a heter to move the mukta. Mukta is mutter if it's very disgusting. So there might be a heter to move the mukta of a dirty house also because it's very disgusting. Yeah, you could say that might depend exactly how dirty the house is. Those are the heter. The Chazanish himself rejects this first heter. The Chazanish says, Agav, that someone pointed out to me, this Chazanish, besides being the Chazanish, the first thing at the end of the Shemir Shabbos Gil Chasid, there's an essay or something, after it's finished. Yeah, Ha'orah from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that's a multi-page Ha'orah, the first two lines, happens both the sheet of the Chazanish, he says, there's no heter to move mukta just by, like, moving it with something else. There's a heter that if mukta is on my book, I can move my book and sort of agavorach and move the mukta. No heter to take a broom and move the mukta. That's not tiltum and atzad. Tiltum and atzad is if I move a heter thing and coincidentally there's a mukta there. There's no heter to move a mukta thing through a broom. That's still moving the mukta directly. So the Chazanish doesn't like the first heter. He says, Taka, the reason you're allowed to sweep is because the second heter of Brash Rei, or he has a big fetish, a third heter that maybe sweeping is not really considered moving the dirt at all. It's just considered cleaning the floor. So it's not considered tefillah mukta at all. The chazanish. Where was this chazanish? Anyone remember? I forget. Unfortunately, I forget where it was. Anyways, the chazanish, the Mishnah Berurah already has both of these heterim in the course of his discussion. The chazanish doesn't like the first one. It's a big machlokas. Ad hayom zeh halacha l'maaseh. Can I just take anything and sweep mukta aside with it? The Rishon of Mishnah Berurah said tefillah tzad seems to assume yes. As long as I use a broom, that's matzah tefillah mukta. The chazanish said no. The reason it's mukta to sweep is the graf shel rei, or maybe it's not really considered tefillah mukta. The as far as the smag, okay, so he claims it's a gzeira. That's easy enough to understand. The makilim would just not accept his chiddush. Halacha le'maaseh, we paskin that it is usher, as we well know. We paskin sweeping is usher, and we'll see in a second why it's really usher. But theoretically, we paskin sweeping is usher. Why do we paskin sweeping is usher? Which isurim do we accept? And all these isurim, right? Which isurim do we accept? Why do we say sweeping is usher? Is it usher because of mukta? Right, do we accept that there's an issur of mukta? Right, we're osrim, we're the Ramah, we're Ashkenaz. The Ramah says he thinks the issur is because of Hashvas Gumos. That's the answer Ramah says. Ramah says very mefurish. He says that Al Yei Beged Omatlas of Knaf Avas Hakalim Ve'eno Mashva Gumos. Right, it's mutter if you do it in a way that's not Mashva Gumos, meaning the Ramah does not accept the Isser of Mukta. He says, we're not worried about Mukta when you sweep your ass. Either it's Mukta because Graf Shel Rei, or it's Mukta because Tofa Yidavar Dover Acher, Mitzarif Dover HaMutter, but it's not, he doesn't accept the Isser of Mukta, and the Ramah himself also doesn't accept that just moving dirt around is automatically considered binyan. The Ramah himself says, look, you're allowed to use a soft broom that doesn't, what does a soft broom do? It does move dirt, otherwise why are you bothering to sweep? It just doesn't move hard dirt that's part of the structure in the ground in a way that would level off the ground. So Ramah, even though he passed like the Osrim, doesn't pass like all the reasons of the Osrim, seems to paskin just like the reason of Rashi, and that's why he's matter a soft broom. So now, now that we figured out the svar of the Osrim, the svar of the Matirim, why, what the psak of the Ramah is, in what cases do we have heterim to sweep the house? So the Ramah already gives us two heterim. One heter the Ramah gives us is al yedei akum, and we already discussed the principle that separation is mutter al yedei akum and the different ways of looking at it last time. The second heter the Ramah gives us is a soft broom. Right, that's what he says, a matlis, a rag, or a knaf avas, or a feather, a rag, or feather broom, is a soft broom. And that's mutter because it won't be mashva gumos, even though it does have the other chashos. Ramah's not worried about the other chashos. He's only worried about mashva gumos, so he's making the soft broom. Now the soft broom is actually very controversial. The Magen Avraham brings the Yam Shel Shlomo, who is who is machmir in the soft broom. Who's machmir in the soft room? So that's machlokes achronim. The Ramah is making the soft room. The Yam Shel Shlomo is lower machmir. He suggests maybe even a soft room will have the opportunity of have the possibility of mashva gumos. In the end, the Bir Halacha deals with this. I think in two Dibur Maskels in the Bir Halacha. And the Bir Halacha wants to say that he'll be mako only, let's say, in the exact soft brooms the Ramah mentioned, or in a house with a floor on it. Meaning he was machmir if you have, let's say, the matlis or the kanaf, and here you have a stam soft brush, right? You know, there are hard brushes and soft brushes. And here you have a dirt floor and a tile floor. So the Ramah basically seems to say any soft broom is okay. The Yamshel Shlomo says, and he quotes some other Rishonim, soft brooms are not okay. The Mishmur ends up coming with a pshara. He says, if it's the exact one that the Ramah mentioned, then you can be matir. If it's a soft brush on a hard floor, you can be matir, but a stam soft brush on a dirt floor, he asers. What's the svar behind this? He's not exactly sure how to paskin, so really, he's only makil, like the Ramah, when you can throw in one other svar to be makil. So if the tiled floor, you have another svar to be makil. After all, if the tiled floor, you have another svar to be makil, because who says there's necessarily an isser in a tiled floor? The Ramah didn't hold from the isser in the tiled floor, from the gzeira of tiled floors onto dirt floors. So then you have another svar to makil. If it's the exact ones Ramah mentioned, says you have the svar of the Lavush to be makil. The Lavush says, look, maybe the only reason they answered is because it's like the derech of kol, and these are so different from normal sweeping that it's a shinoi gadol in their makil. But if you have a soft brush, soft broom on a dirt floor, then you don't have the svar to say, well, there's really no dirt, like the Rambam, and you don't have the svar of the Lavush that's very different from normal, so then he's makil like the Yamshel Shlomo. That's the pshara of the Bir Halacha, which he writes inside Mishnah Berurah as well. He also points out as a Devar Pasha that the whole heter of the soft brush is that it doesn't actually move the attached dirt. Well, if you use a soft brush and brush very hard with it, because you actually want to like brush caked away dirt, then avad, it's a Devar Pasha that it's usher, because then you're just you're using a soft brush, or even the knaf avos, you can always scrub hard with the feather also if you want. That's obviously usher. So we're going to get to that in a second. That's, of course, halakha l'maisa. Until now, it really seems like it's generally usur to use brooms and sweep your house on Shabbos. Oh, we all sweep our houses on Shabbos. So, here's the Ramah. And the Bir Halacha tells us that if most houses, b'zman hazeh, it's all these halakhas are not nogea. I shouldn't say all these halakhas are not nogea b'zman hazeh, because there are backyards. But let's say it in a way that most of these halachas are, mostly these halachas are not nogei at all. This man has that because the Bir Halacha says, because we have all of our house, or at least most of, all he requires is most, 51%. He doesn't require all. Most of our houses are tiled. Obviously, no one lives in dirt houses anymore, and therefore, there's not even a need for a gzeira of a tiled house floor up to a a dirt floor. So he says, since when do we say that like if a gzera doesn't apply, like we don't keep it anymore? I mean, then we wouldn't keep half the gzeras that don't apply anymore. He says, no. He doesn't say in quite these words. He says, Mimadashach, look at the sukya. Ameim was matir. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda of Darshan Iskami, who answered sprinkling, he was matir sprinkling in Rechuza because they had tiled floors. So, there's a heter of tiled floors. So what did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, in Chanami, tiled floors are always mutter. And Rashi and Tosa said, no, really tiled floors are usher as a gzeira. So why does he make them the Chuzah? Because all their floors were tiled, so there's no room for the gzeira. So in Manashach, however you interpret the Gemara, according to the Rambam, there was never a gzeira. Tiled floors are to dirt floors. Right, what do we have? Let's just review for a second. And Avchav Tess and Abayz, they made a gzeira on Alisa Deshisha. Right, even on a marble attic, they were gozer not to drag your bed. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. On Daf Tzadi Hei Yom Aleph, a Meimar was not gozer in Mechoza. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Right, so in one place there was a gzera, one place there isn't. So the Rambam just says, okay, where there is a gzera, where there isn't. By cleaning your house, there's no gzera. Don't give me another sugya. That's not that. Somebody's making a gzera. Daf Tzadi Hei, they didn't make a gzera. Rashi and Tosafot say no. Here it's where there's one tiled floor, and here it's where they're all tiled floors. So the Mishnah Berurah just says, look, it's a Devar Pashut. If it's all tile floors, according to the Rambam, it's mutter, and according to Rashi and Tosfos, it's mutter. Everyone agrees it's mutter. So there's nothing to talk about. It's pasha. It's mutter to sweep your house if all the floors are tiled. He does bring up that that you could have thought of a lot of other pshashis if you wanted to, right? Brings up three other pshashis you could say. You can answer, what about, right, we mentioned, who mentioned it last year? I forget who was the point of this out, right? The Shita of the Sifra Truma, based on Tosfos, that says, even in tiles floor, you might fill in the holes between the, you might fill in the holes between the tiles. So he says that that's, first of all, our tiles don't have so many holes in them, and that the Gemara didn't seem to worry about that by sweeping. And right, but he says, really, I mean, the mice will look. If you look at our tiles, our house nowadays, you don't really have holes between the tiles anyway, because they're grouted. And wood floors, he said, certainly there are holes between the pieces of wood. If they pack them in really tight, unlike tiles, which you can't get tight, because they're hard. Wood, you can get tight, because it's somewhat malleable. So he says, not worried about that. Muktzah, we already explained why the Mishnah Berurah is not worried about. And he says, and the last thing he says, is that, oh, what about the breaking the straws on the broom? But doesn't really, he said, look, this is a big machlokes, it's like Rishon Nichlev Darabanan, l'ma'aseh, our brooms na'aseh, don't break anyway. Right? No one ever, like, swept their floor and found pieces of broom on the floor. I mean, maybe once in a million years, but then it's Dover Shin Miskavi. Our brooms are just made of, like, probably some sort of artificial material that don't break every time you sweep. You know, we don't live in the Middle Ages anymore. So, l'ma'aseh, that's why it's totally mutter for us to sweep our own floors, b'zma'aseh. So that's why we can sweep the floors. Again, just review. There's no chash mitzadash v'yigumos, because being the Rambam, it's mutter on all tiled floors. Being the Rashi and Tosfos, it's mutter if all your floors are tiled. There's no problem with mutzah, as we explained the reasons. There's no problem with breaking the straws. So the Mishnah Berurah says, look, that's machlokes achronim Rambam and Taz anyway. But b'zman hazeh, we don't have straw brooms. And there's, you know, I don't know, maybe if someone left their broom out in the sun for like 3 years, it might get brittle and start breaking like the old straw brooms, but I don't think it's shvia. And there's no problem with filling in the holes, because we usually don't really have holes nowadays. And also, it's not so posh that sweeping, most Rishonim seem to hold, that sweeping won't fill in the holes between the cracks. So, l'maisa, that's why it's mutter to sweep. What about sweeping outdoors? So sweeping outdoors, you would think, is a vada usher if you have dirt outdoors. That's a dover pashut. I mean, the way we paskin. And it should be usher even if you have a poured floor, even if you have tiles or concrete outdoors, because most of the outdoors in the city is dirt in a lot of cities. I don't know. You have to, let's assume there's a lot of dirt outdoors. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa in the footnotes has a kula. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa in Perek Chaf Gimel. In He'ara Yod brings a very nice kula, He'ara Yod from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that if it's mutter to sweep in houses nowadays because most of the city is piled, then if you have a patio which is adjacent to your house, that's also like part of the house and you're allowed to sweep your patio also. Now, that if I for some reason have a patio far away in the middle of a field, he would not be makel. Since the patio attached to your house is tuffled to your house, and if there's a heter on houses nowadays, they're heter on patios, and you don't have to go ask whether most patios are dirt or most backyards are dirt or tiles. You can say whatever's next to your house is tuffled to your house. So that's a kula to sweep, you know, patios and mirpasot and such things as well.
How far into the backyard does it extend?
No, I mean, as wherever it's paved from your house, you can sweep. I think you would say if your whole backyard is paved, you can sweep your whole backyard.
Right. He also says there wouldn't be a gzera up to inwards of because Rome. What is it?
Because Rome houses are merutzas.
Right, it's the hamshech of the house.
Exactly, it's tuffled to your house. Even if Rome backyards are not merutzas.
Right.
And you think it should be goes in your backyard or to Rome backyards. No, you can say the backyard is buffled to the house.
Right,
there's a break, then
even a
kosher break. If I have 1 foot of dirt behind my house and then I have a beautiful paved area, then it would be usher to sweep. But if it's a paved area adjacent to my house, like that's what most people do, right? I think most people have, like attached to their house, they have either a deck or a patio or something, and then behind that, the dirt part of their backyard. So the patio area is tuffled to your house and you're allowed to sweep that also. That is A. It's a big kula. It's from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He says it's mutter. The next thing which the Shulchan Aruch goes on to discuss, there's no other questions about sweeping. In Gimel, Ein sochen zakarka v'lo medichno so afilu hu merutzav. And this confused me a little. Maybe, hopefully, someone else here will have sorted it out a little more. You're not allowed to. This is not from the same sugya, daf tzadik hei. This is agavor from a story in another sugya. You're not allowed to smear oil or wash the floor, even if it's tiled. Now, this is different from sprinkling. Sprinkling the floor, but you sprinkle a little water here and there. That we said was totally mutter. Washing the floor means you mamish, like get water all over the floor to wash it. And that is usser. What's the isser of sochen karka and medisim karka all about? So they seem to assume, the Mishapur seems to explain, that it's a gzeira shema yavo lashvu yegumos. Right, if you wash your floor, or if you smear oil on your floor, then you'll come to Ashvu Yegumos. And now he has to deal with two things. Because this Shulchan Aruch here quotes, it's one of the Rambam, but he seems to be saying it's a davar pashut. It's a davar pashut l'kuli alma, that it's usher to put oil or wash your floor, to oil or wash your floor, even if it's tiled. By sweeping, we had 3 days. One day it's mutter, one day it's mutter if it's tiled, and one day at the most mafra that's usher, even if it's tiled. Here we only have one day that's usher, even if it's tiled. What happened to the other two more makel days? So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Magen Avraham, he gives two different explanations for what happened to the makel days. So let's remember, there are two tzadim lahakel. One tzad lahakel is the rifu behag, that it's found there's no isser at all. The other day tzad lahakel is the Rambam. The Rambam says, lo gazru merutzaf atu eino merutzaf. All of a sudden, by smearing oil or washing your floor, we forget about the shita that's mutter entirely. We even forget about the shita that we're not gozer merutzaf atu eino merutzaf. So, why have we forgotten about both those shitas? And Mishnah Berurah explains, for two different reasons. The reason why we forget about the Rif and the Mahag Shita is because here there's a special Gzeira, because you're Oseg the Yipoy Karka. Since you are really trying to improve the ground here, like if you smear oil on the ground, you're very directly working with the ground, or if you wash the ground, you're much more directly working with the ground. You sort of psychologically view yourself as, I'm fixing up the floor here. Again, you're not really fixing up the floor in a malacha way, but you're thinking about the beauty of the floor, right? Unlike sweeping. Sweeping, you're just getting rid of some dirt. You're not making the floor beautiful. And unlike sprinkling. Sprinkling, you're just keeping the air clean. You're not making the floor beautiful. Here, you're trying to make the floor sparkle. You're trying to make the floor beautiful. When you're trying to make the floor look beautiful, there's a serious chash that you're so intent on making the floor look nice, you'll forget it Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom, and mamish the adayim in this kaveh, smooth out some holes. So that's why we have a gzeira here, l'kuli alma, even those who say it's okay to sweep, that's because in sweeping you're not trying to make the floor look nice. You're just trying to get rid of dirt. But the floor doesn't look any nicer. You just get rid of the pieces of dirt. Over here where you're making the floor look nice, so we're for sure afraid that you're going to be mashba gumos. Okay, so that's why the Rif and the Mahag don't have a kula here. Why is the Rambam makel here? And the Rambam Papa is the one who's being quoted here. Why isn't the Rambam makel here? Why doesn't he say, look, well, gozer on karka merutzah? The Rambam holds, there is no gzeira on karka merutzah when it comes to cleaning. So, the Mishnah Berurah explains that lo gozru when there's a real tzorach. You need to sweep your house, otherwise it's disgusting. And tzorach, I don't mean the world will come to an end, but normally you need to sweep your house, otherwise it'll be very disgusting. But, gazru when it's not a big tzorach, you don't need to wash your house or to oil your floor. You don't need to wash or oil your floor. That's not a very serious need. Sweeping your floor is a big need. Washing floor and oiling your floor, yeah, it's a cute thing to do, but it's not a serious need. So therefore, we can't rely on neither Mikkel Sheet applies here. We're only Machmir A to Asher in the first place, because we're afraid that since you're making the floor look nice, you'll smooth the holes. And B, everyone agrees to answer a tiled floor, onto a dirt floor, because if it's not so necessary anyway, we might as well make Xera. And if we're wanting to make Xera, isn't it good to protect Shabbos, Kedushas HaShabbos? Okay, so we can't make Xeras on things you need to do, because then you won't be able to live. But on things you don't need to do, might as well make Xera and be extra careful about protecting the sanctity of Shabbos. That's how the Mishnah Berurah explains the psak of the Shulchan Aruch here. The Halacha L'maisa, theoretically, you could think of two ways we make. Oh, I don't think we oil our floors so much nowadays. I don't know. I mean, I guess people with wood. I don't know. Maybe we do.
What about the cleaners that we use that we're not the same thing?
Murphy's oil, though. Well, I don't know if you use Murphy's oil on floor. Oh, whatever. I think cleaners might be different than oil, because oil, mamish, like, penetrates in and clean up. But, I don't know. L'maisa, either way, it's the same thing. Is there any coolest to wash the floor? So the Shemir Shabbos Kolchos, in the footnote, has one very reasonable kula in Orachav Dalo there in Perikav Gimel. He says, and that's, I think it's also on the top, in Se'if Vav. He says, if you have a Shas HaTzach, you really, really need to wash the floor, then you can wash the floor. Because after all, the whole reason that we're molded Aser here is because it's not a Tzorech. So if there is a Tzorech, then there's room to be made. At least that's, for example, hospitals, where they have to wash the floor because of the germs. It might be room to be makel. So whatever, like, everyone has to know their own situation. But sometimes, if, you know, there's really, really, the floor is really, I don't know, the really, really disgusting to the point where it's an absolute necessity to wash the floor, then the Shmir Shabbos Al-Khasa says it's logical that there might be room to be makel. Although, of course, you can't wash the floor with anything, with any rag or anything, because of stika. But you could do, like, sponge without a rag, right? You push the water around with a rubber thing, and so that would be, you know, then there'd be no shash of shchita, only the shash of hadacha. So he says, okay, if it's a real shash of chak, I don't know how often that comes up in regular houses, but if it's a real, if it's a real shash of chak, then he thinks it could be that lo gazru b'makom a real tzorech.
Anytime a kid grows up, it's not uncommon, I think, especially that sweeping
won't. Right. Okay. Yeah. And a chanami. The other thing which is funny, and maybe someone else noticed this, is that I haven't seen the poskim say that, well, if all the houses have tiled floors, then we can be makel. For some reason, I haven't seen people use this kula. Right, by sweeping, we get a kula that even according to those machmir shita, since all the houses are tiled, we can be makel. Over here, no one said, unless someone wants to quote me something, no one said if all the houses are tiled, we can be makel. It seems to be that in this that we're only somech on that svara by the exact amar daf sadi hey, where a meimar was matir, so therefore we say, obviously, either the all tiled floors are mutter, or at least all tiled floors are mutter when the whole town is tiled. But on this isser, which doesn't come from the amar daf sadi hey, apparently we think, no, maybe in this case, where it wasn't really necessary, there were gozer even if all the floors in the town are tiled.
Piskei Tshuvos mentions that you can use the leniency of the Bir Halacha about the role of the city's Mertzach in the case of sports, like in the Kadur.
That's out of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. And this is one thing we're going to get to that I'm not sure how to figure out. It's a little bit of a mystery to me. Maybe you can help me solve it. But let's see if we can solve this mystery. Do we have the kula of, if all the houses are tiled, it's mutter? So by kibud, we do have the kula. By hadacha, the sikha, unless someone saw something I didn't, no one mentioned this kula that the whole town is tiled with mutter. But when it comes to this kake karka, right, the marbles, right, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos, it does apply the kula. He says, yeah, well, if everyone has tiled floors, then you can play marbles on Shabbos. Now, I'm not sure. If not the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos, I would have said, push it. When are they makel when all the floors are tiled? When it's unnecessary. But washing is unnecessary. Of course, the marbles is also unnecessary. And yet, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos is makel. And I assume that's where the Piskei Tshuvos got it from, or maybe other people also makel. And he got it from that. But the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos is makel. That when you play, I'll tell you exactly where it is, Bli Neder. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa in Perek, yeah, in Perek Tef Zayin Halacha Hey, he said it's multiple marbles at home in the tiled house. Multiple marbles in the tiled house. So I can't imagine there's such a tzorach to play marbles unless, I don't know, kids really need to play marbles. But I don't know what kids were like at that time. But certainly nowadays, I don't think kids need to play marbles so much. So it's a little tricky exactly figuring out why in some cases, I'm not exactly sure. Unless you want to say that Hadachah and Sicha, we also matter nowadays since most floors are tiled. But the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa isn't. So certainly in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, right? The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, you're right, this is the only one that everyone has to agree to. Not everyone, the Bir Halacha. Say, the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa clearly doesn't use the kulav we all live in tiled houses for washing floors. But he does use the kulav we all live in tiled houses for playing marbles. And it's a little tricky. It's mafurish. I mean, it's not like one is a serious isser and one is just very, you know, not serious. They're both found in Shas, right? These are both real issurim, which are based in Shas.
Isn't the marbles legitimate
with a Shas Rabbanan? It left you are Mashva Gumos. This is also the way that Mr. Brewer explains at least a Shas Rabbanan lest you're Mashva Gumos, although maybe you'll tell me. Hold on a second. Maybe you're saying like this. I think maybe this is what we're trying to say. By the Hadacha and Sicha, the Mishnah Berurah says, even the Rishon LeMahag would admit that it's like a gzeira that you might come to Mashva Gumos. But it could be that Rashi would ask for Hadacha and Sicha, because it's a psik ratio of Mashva Gumos. Meaning, Hadacha and Sicha, there's room to say that it's a psik ratio of Mashva Gumos Mamash. While in playing marbles, Avada playing marbles is not going to be Mashva Gumos. Rolling a marble is not going to knock any dirt into place. That's definitely Zera. So this is, Hadachah and Sicha is a Zera, Aliva to the Bahag and the Rif, and a Chiyav Chatos, Aliva to Rashi. This is definitely a Zera. So it could be that something's definitely a gzeira, then for sure we won't be so machmir if everything in town is tiled. But if something which does have a tzad, that there's a shita in the Rishonim, that it's a malacha mamish, so if there's a tzorech, we would still be makel if all the floors were tiled. But shalom mazin tzorech, we wouldn't. Maybe that's the way we can explain the psak of the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, which seems to... I don't think this is a unique, weird perspective of Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa. I think a lot is firm. Write the same thing as some of that. So that's a possible star.
Could one also from the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa that even by mopping the floors, whatever, washing the floors, that still is at their government. But there are other reasons, like Kircha, that we should ask there for it's only Mutter with Sora. I mean, it doesn't say it explicitly, but it could be, meaning the Heter is a Heter. It just happens to be only mentioned the Heter when it's the Sora, because.
That's not the way he makes it sound. Anyway, I think it's a very reason. Obviously, I can't say, you know, what's quote unquote right, but I think it's right that this is a good hezbra. Okay, so maybe that's the hezbra. If anyone, obviously, there's room for chiddush. If anyone has any other hezbra, you know, please feel free to share it at some point.
Because
the Bahag and the Rif say that sweeping is legamri mutter, because it's only a dover she'in miskavin vashuya gumos. So why would they say Hadacha is aser? So the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, just exeret, you might come to be Mashva Gumos. While Rashi says, sweeping is a psik ratio of being Mashva Gumos. So, now you're right, we're extrapolating, but maybe you would also say that washing is a psik ratio of Mashva Gumos. Now, you're right, you can say back to me, it could be that maybe the Bahag and the Rif would say, sweeping is only Dover Shem's Kavan of Gumos, and washing is a psik ratio of Gumos, or vice versa, or something. But the Mishnah Berurah, at least the Mishnah Berurah scheme, you know, going with the Mishnah Berurah scheme, which I think he gets in the Magen Avraham here, that's where we would say it. Okay, that is, now there's a whole discussion here about blowing dirt off karka, but the Bir Halacha generally says we don't do that. So anyway, he's a little mystified exactly what's so bad about blowing dirt off of the karka, and he assumes there must have been some practice in their days where when the blowing dirt off karka was a way in which you really improved the karka, maybe as part of your ancient bathing rituals. He says Bisman Azet doesn't apply too much anyway. That's what the Magen Avraham brings in here. You also can never blow the dirt off karka. So, the Mishnah. What?
Why isn't that a particular thing?
It is.
Why is it a problem?
Why is it a problem? That's exactly what the Bir Halacha is. That's exactly what the Bir Halacha is trying to figure out. So he says it must be among the Rambam that some practice they used to have where it was when you tried to make the floor look nice, blowing was part of that practice as a gzeira that you might come to Master Gemos, which is not a practice that we have nowadays. Like if there's some piece of dirt on the floor and you blow it, he said that wouldn't be usher. One other very important ha'orah by the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa, which is here, that's in Se'if Perek Chaf Gimel, Se'if Zayin, is that if some water spills on the floor, you're allowed to sponge it out away. That's not within the isser of washing the floor. The isser of washing the floor means you can't pour water all over the floor. But if water spills on the floor, then just to wipe it up. Just to wipe it up or to sponge it out is mutter. That's not within the gzera of Chazal. If accidentally water spilled on the floor, you're allowed to dry your floor. You're not allowed to wash it. If it got washed by accident, you're allowed to dry it. Though he does point out that how you dry it, this is already another topic, but how you dry it, you can always dry it with a sponge stick, but with a rag, you can only dry it if it's a tiny amount of water. So if you dry a lot of water with a rag, you'll come to sleep. So that's a separate Indian. Just to finish up this Siman of Shulchan Aruch, there was a dalad also with tzadik chavas al aretz techemin shikveida yavol hashvus gumos vaday v'have psik reisha. You're not allowed to. Letzadid chavas is to if you have a barrel, you just shift it side to side on the ground, or you shift it sideways on the ground. So these chavases had flat bottoms, and these chavases had flat bottoms that, unlike, let's say, the kisei mita basafsol, the normal kisei mita basafsol, it's only a sekarei, dereshin is common that it might dig. These big barrels with wide flat bottoms, when you push them side to side on the ground, would for sure be a psikresha of mashve gumos, says the machaber, and therefore it's obviously also to do something which is a psikresha of mashve gumos. Actually, this is controversial, this machaber. It doesn't seem to be shot in the sugya. The machaber and the mishabura quotes. The Rashi might seem to agree with him, not so clear. It's a Sefer Shabbos. One of the Achronim agrees with him. Says it's a Psik Resha. Pash, that's more like Tosos, and the Gra agrees with him that it's not necessarily Psik Resha. It's just that we're afraid it's a Gzeira. You might come to Mashve Gumos on purpose because if your barrel doesn't sit well and you don't want it to fall over because you're big headed, you want to make sure that it lies very, very firmly, so you'll come to Mashve Gumos in order to get your barrel to sit properly. So it's not machlokas whether it's a psik resha malacha or just a gzeira that you might come to do malacha. So that would be machlokas whether it would be perhaps an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan. The machaber would say it's an issur d'oraisa psik resha. The gra, based on Tosafot, say it's an issur d'rabbanan or gzeira. Either way, it's usur. And then the Mishnah Magen Avraham just adds, Mishnah Berurah, and then I'll take your question or answer or whatever it may be. That it's also usher to tilt the barrel forward, support from it, because these barrels were so heavy that when you tilted them, they would dig a hole in the ground, and then that would be a psik ratio of digging, because I guess the barrel is like a big kisei mita v'safsol, which we already know psik ratio of digging is a problem. That could apply theoretically to anything, meaning if you're out on the dirt, let's say, and you have something really heavy, and you tilt it over so that only one edge is on the ground, and you know that's going to dig into the ground, that will be usher because of psik resha. Mishnah mentions here that the schavis on tiled floors is machlokes, but for us, certainly mutter, because all of our houses are tiled. Question?
According to Rashi and Sugya, it's not a psik resha?
No, the quote from Rashi, the Rashi is used to support the Pshat of Psik Resha. Well, it's not so pashut that Rashi was exactly referring to this. Rashi is quoted to support the Mechaber, right? I think the Shaar Tzion quote him here. It's inside in the Mishnah Berurah. Shaar Tzion said, Rashi Bereish Per Kabona with Tosef Shabbat. It's not so pashut that you're going to ride from Rashi Bereish Per Kabona. But if you can, then it would be like the Mechaber.
You can be mashed with the gumos when you put this down the barrel down?
Well, when you move it side to side, not by just putting it down, by moving it side to side. So I'm moving it side to side. You're going to take whatever dirt is a little higher and push it into whatever's a little lower.
Just
it's like a bulldozer.
Earlier, Shmuel pointed out that this is a secretion against the Michalai, right? If it's a secretion from Michalai, then this the Mechaber would be going against the Hashbarim and say that.
Well, I mean, it is segregation to Nichalei. Wouldn't it be Nicha for you to have your house leveled up?
You have to do it in that, but in a place where it's Nichalei. Then, if it's in a place where it's not Nichalei, then.
Well, who says this is the Rabbanan?
Because it's Kalach Riyad.
Who says this is Kalach Riyad?
Just Kalach Riyad is the. I mean,
is this a Kalach Riyad way of leveling a floor? I'm not sure if this is a Kalach Riyad way of leveling a floor, because I understand dragging a bench is a Kalach Riyad way of digging, because normally you dig with a shovel. But how would you normally level a floor? Not by like just pushing a flat thing across it? I'm not sure. Sorry, Ian. But in any case, let's assume that it's almost always Nichalei to level a floor. Holes are often not Nichalei, because who wants holes unless you specifically need the water to flow through your field or something? Right? As all else being equal, making holes in the floor is usually not Nichalei. But straightening the floor, I think, usually is Nichalei. Be neat for me. So that's pretty much it for the Shulchan Aruch. In terms of the various types of digging, there's a few very important dyunim in the Achronim that we saw, about all different things that my digger make holes in the ground. Baby carriages is a big issue. Is there a problem with baby carriages on Shabbos? And this issue actually goes back all the way to the end of the second parak of Beitza. In Beitza Daf Chof Gimel, we have machlokes tanoim about baby carriages. Now, it's actually a tremendous machlokes in showing exactly what that agala, what kind of carriage that was, exactly who used it, and how did a baby use it in Bechuli. It's not really important for us. It's more relevant to the Yonav of Thomas Medrash there. Lamaisa, it might not have been what we think of as a stroller, but halachically, for Chelcha Shabbos purposes, it should be all the same. So there are three opinions in the Tanaim in Maseches Beitza about the permissibility of using a baby carriage. Why are there three deos? Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Shimon said it's mutter. Why? It's a daughter chain of escaping of chafira. It might or might not dig. When you push a baby carriage, it might or might not dig. So it's mutter. How about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, there's two versions. Trei Tanoi, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda should ask for a daughter chain of escaping. So why are there Tanos make even Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda? In one word or less, because this is a very, very important chiddush. This kind of says that it's mutter because by definition, right, pressing is not included in the av malacha of choresh and digging. Pressing is not digging. Right? Digging means you have to move dirt from side to side. If you squish dirt down, that's by definition not the malacha of Choresh. So therefore, you're allowed to push the stroller. What's the chav of the stroller? The stroller has wheels, unlike everything we're dealing with until now. So when you have something with wheels, like if you drive a car, right? If you drive a car, it's not going to dig a hole like if you drag a bench. It's going to compress the dirt as the wheel rolls on it, but it's never going to move the dirt backwards, forwards, or sideways. It's just going to compress the dirt down as it drives on it. And compressing dirt down is not only is it like a strange way, it's not digging at all. Digging means you have to move the dirt sideways, not just squish it downwards. So therefore, it's heter gomer even from Rabbi Yehuda, because even if it does move dirt, that's not a malacha. And how about the last day? The last day of Rabbi Yehuda, one time like Levi Darby Yehuda said it's usher. Why? According to Rashi, why did that Tana say it's usher? Because he held that squishing down dirt is usher? No. That Ravadia points this out in his long shot from Atari there, right? He said, oh, there's another Tana. What does the other Tana hold? There has to be pressing down dirt. So you might have thought of the other Tana holds that Kovesheth is usher, but that's not what Rashi says. What does Rashi say? He admits
that kovesheth is mutter. But
what does he hold of it?
Right, but sometimes it gets stuck and digs.
Right, even if something has wheels, usually the wheels roll and all they do is press the dirt downwards. But sometimes the wheels like get caught and don't roll, and then they'll push the dirt forward. Right, let's say the wheels stop. Right, if I'm driving my car in dirt and I step on the brakes, then the wheels will all of a sudden start pushing dirt forwards. So sometimes it pushes dirt forwards, and even though it's only sometimes, Rabbi Yehuda answers the Darshei Shein Miskan. What does this mean, Lamaisa, for us? So first of all, in a Sdam case of a carriage, which is Darshei Shein Miskan and moving any dirt, so it's never pushing that's what we're like Rabbi Shimon. That's a davar pasha. That you don't even have to discuss. So what if you're rolling your carriage on soft dirt that it's a psik reisha that you're making tracks? Like for the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa, that's what he says. What if you're pushing it on? Where's the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa? It's Perek Chaf Ches. Halacha Mandate. So what if you're pushing it on sand? Right, meaning it's a davar pasha that if you just have normal dirt and you roll a stroller, of course that's much, that's Rabbi Shimon, Damar Shehim is coming of making a hole. But what if he says, Lorak mitzvah solo, right, not only on a real road, even a derech hole, even a sandy road, even if it's very loose dirt, even if you know you're making tracks, let's say you start pushing your baby stroller on Shabbos, and let's give a good example. You start pushing your baby stroller, then Davar Shehim is coming. Of course it's mutter. What if you start pushing it and you notice you're making tracks? Right? You notice you're pressing the dirt down in the last as you went. Can you continue or do you have to freeze? So what if it's a psik reisha? And if it's a psik reisha, you know that you're going to make tracks in the dirt or sand or whatever it is. So l'chora, even a hechitin psik reisha should be mutter. Why? Because it's a psik reisha of pressing down the dirt. But it's still only a davar she'ein miskaven of digging dirt. Even if you know you're making tracks, that means it's 100% likely you're squishing dirt down. But it's still only 10% likely that you're pushing dirt sideways. So even if you see you're making tracks as you push your stroller, it's still mutter, because koveshes is mutter according to both opinions. That's what Rabbi says. It says, oh, it's only one time is mutter koveshes. No, really, both times are mutter koveshes if you read the Gemara carefully. And I don't know of any Mishnah who read it different than Rashi. Well, I haven't checked every single one of them. So, Darshei Shein Miskaven mutter, even psik reisha is mutter. Then, the only case that gets a little tricky, and this is a difference between the different maduras of Shmir Shabbos Golchasa, this is what Rabbi Yosef discussed at length. What if you're turning the stroller? When you turn the stroller, now of course there are smoother and less smooth turns. Kayadua, if you're very, very graceful, then I bet even if you turn the stroller, it's gonna glide very gracefully. Let's say most normal situation, not everyone's so graceful, or sometimes you have to turn the stroller, it's a little rough. So when you turn the stroller, then, you know, as you do this, the wheels are moving sideways a little. When I turn the stroller, I'm moving the wheels sideways a little. So when I turn the stroller and move the wheel sideways, then it's like a psik reisha of pushing dirt sideways. So maybe it should be also to turn your carriage at least on very, very soft ground. Right? Maybe it's also to turn your carriage on soft ground, because that's a psik reisha of moving dirt sideways. So the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa in his first edition, I actually didn't look it up, it was quoted that way, so I assume that's accurate, said, Taka, if it's very soft dirt and you're avada moving the dirt, then you're allowed to go straight, but not to turn. Not quite. I guess you could go straight on to like find some pavement to turn there. But in his second edition, he quotes here from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and this is also the conclusion of Rav Vadi Yosef, who was Mekel, that really even turning in soft dirt is also mutter. Everything's mutter in strollers. That seems to be the accepted sock. Everything's mutter in strollers. Says he has a few, he throws out a few ideas. First of all, he points out that all of these are lo nichole. Everyone agrees lo nichole to dig a hole in the public property. I mean, unless you happen to go through your field, which needs irrigation, but in most cases, lo nichole. And it's makalkel, because it's a kilkel of the street. to have the dirt be uneven, and it's malacha klacher yad, so it's a specific ratio nichla betray drop button. Says, okay, so Sarah E and Y, it's also to drag the bench at all. You know, psik rational nichla betray drop button. So he's confused about this. On the one hand, psik rational nichla betray drop button should be mutter, or if Hadjiz even wants to make on psik rational nichla betray drop button. But there's a look, psik rational nichla betray drop button. But on the other hand, dragging the bench is psik rational nichla betray drop button, and we don't let you drag the big bench, that's the rokeya. So he's confused about that. So he says, but you have plenty of other svaras to be mako also. He says, look, he has a very interesting svara. He says that often what you're doing is that you're like pushing the dirt where it's already like packed dirt and it's just loose on top, so you're not really packed. You're not really pushing aside the hard dirt. Maybe you're just pushing aside Ofer Ticholach, and you're not necessarily digging. You might just be pushing dirt like from one place to another without necessarily digging a hole. So he says, Lamaisa, given that, you psik rational nichla betray drabanan, and he says that you might only be pushing aside the very, very loose dirt, which is the point of Ofer Ticholach, and you're not actually digging dirt, you're not actually digging a hole, you might just be like pushing the dirt off the flat area. So he says you can be mako, and I think this is accepted, you can be mako to drive your carriage normally on Shabbos or Yantav. I guess if theoretically you got in a situation where you knew you were mamish like digging a hole, you know, without any tzad lahakel, I'm not sure what he would say. But he says he doesn't think, he thinks that there's room to be mako, that's for Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So we're mako on the carriages. Yeah? Well, that already in the Sharetzion was confused about. I have a theory about it. I'm not sure. Meaning, the problem is that... this is one of the tricky parts of this whole area of halachas. If you look in the Malachtim, they point out that there's very little consistency among poskim using these rules. It's very, very tricky. Like, sometimes they use these rules, sometimes they don't. Not exactly sure. The Shmir Shabbos L'Chasa, where I quoted the other day, where he goes through and collects every single Mishnah Berurah who deals with Psik Reishis Rabbanan, has trouble finding complete consistency. I thought maybe you could tell you that really we're always making by Psik Reishis and Nichla Betray Rabbanan. The only case where Machmir is in dragging the bench, because dragging the bench is often nichole. When you're outdoors, you often need a furrow in your field. So just like there are gozer on marble floors up to dirt, there also gozer on lo nichole up to nichole, because they made a special gzeirah here to expand the isser. So maybe only here would they made a special gzeirah to expand the isser. Does the gzeirah also include, since all marble floors would be no lo nichole to have a furrow, so they made a special gzeirah to raise lo nichole, the trader abundant in this case. But I admit that that's not Pashat, and it's very confusing. If someone wants to, if you see in the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa, I didn't write it down, but where I quoted the in the Chelak Gimel, in the Miluim Matechos, he has no one has that here. I'll show you, he has like a 40-line footnote where he collects every single Mishnah Berurah Sharetzion and Biur Halacha about this and tries to get them all to work and says there's a few that are tarkin and don't fit. So it'd be a very nice project if someone wants to try to make them all fit. But it's going to be a little tricky. Anyway, the life is so, really, it's a great little nichla betray drabanan is mutter. But in this particular case, we're a little confused about it. But Shlomo Zalman says there's other tzadim to be mako here, that it might not really be heavy enough to dig, or it might just be digging very, very super loose dirt that's offered to Tifolach. So he is mako. Now, of course, if we're mako on baby carriages, we should be makel as well on bicycles, where Israel Hildesheimer has a shot where he says it's also to ride bicycles because you're digging in the dirt. And he says even if you haven't found some pavement still, it's like zero to dirt. But l'chover, that's very, very hard to say. The later achonim say, look, we're really, it's koveshes, right? It also has wheels. It's like the Eglas Yiladim, which we know is much of the more Beit than from all our discussions. So Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer's reason for answering bicycles seems very difficult. Out the av halacha of Choresh, it seems that bicycles should really be mutter. And there are some Achronim who are matter bicycles. They quote the Shut Marashag, seems to be matter bicycles, the Shut Rav Pa'olim was matter bicycles, although there's some controversy over whether he may have had Harata on that. The Pashtus seems to be matter bicycles. There are a few reasons why the Achronim, most of the Achronim, the vast majority of the Achronim, Asar bicycles on Shabbos. It's one of these funny things which I haven't really figured out exactly, like, you know, how we know, like, when to Asar things that don't really seem to have any particularly strong reason to Asar, strong reason to Asar them, but nonetheless we do. This is one of those cases. But the Sis Eliezer summarizes relatively nicely many of the shitas that Asar riding, many of the reasons for Asar riding bicycle. He says there are three basic drachim the post can use to Asar riding bicycles. Says one of them, this is from the Ktos HaShulchan originally, I think, is a gzeir Hashem yitaking. After all, if klishir, if musical instruments are usher, because you might fix them, because they're the kind of things that when you use break all the time and need to be fixed. So too, a bicycle breaks all the time, you need to fix it. It gets a flat tire, you need to fix the tire. So he's usher is a gzeir mishum tikun mana. This is a tricky one. I mean, the Rav Palm says back, you know, we do have a concept, which all the modern people say, we don't make new Xeris. Chazal makes Xeris. We don't have the authorization to make Xeris. We're not Chazal anymore. And the question of when is it like a new Xeris that we don't make? The Rav Palm said, look, we don't make new Xeris. It's a nice idea, but we don't make Xeris. We're not Chazal anymore. I mean, the truth is there's a lot of things. I mean, if you think about it, between you and me and the World Wide Web, if Chazal were alive today and they saw light switches, you don't think they would say it's usher to like leave that light switch without a cover on Shabbos because everyone who walks into the room might turn it on? You don't hear this all the time, people accidentally turn on and off the lights on Shabbos, mice and b'chol yom, more so than any other accidental chol Shabbos. Of course if Chazal were here, they would say, look, you got to put one of those covers, which some people do, as just not helping din, but as a good idea, the Neitz Tova, one of those Shabbos covers on the light switches. It's more likely than turning up your stove on Shabbos. Or, you know, or many of these other gzeiros. Okay, if Chazal were here, they might say that. But Chazal aren't here, so we can't make these gzeiros on our own. It might be an Eitz HaTova, it might be a good idea, it might be a proper thing to do, but we can't make new demon gzeiros because we don't have the authority of Chazal. So, then the question always becomes, okay, well, maybe it's sort of included in the old gzeira. That is, can you say a bicycle is included in klishir? Sort of tricky. It's sort of tricky to figure out, even if it might be logical. Taka, I don't ride bikes much. But maybe it is very common they get flat tires and then you might come to fix them on Shabbos. Yeah, sure. I'm not sure. But it's sort of funny. Usually Chazal make those judgment calls. And it's funny to make new Xeris on our own. Okay. But it's certainly a possible reason. Even though B'derech Klal was supposed to say we don't make new Xeris. Another issue was brought up is a Xeris and a Yetzei Chof Patchum. Right? Because the Gemara already had some havamina of that gzeira, by maybe that's why he can't ride animals. In the end, we know we don't say that. But gzeira shem yitzei chutz l'tchum, because by walking, take you a long time to go chutz l'tchum. Certainly chutz l'tchum d'oraisa, right? Which is Yud Beis Mill. It would be 12 kilometers. Let's assume, like behind that. So that would take you a long time walking. So we don't have to make that gzeira that you would violate chum d'oraisa. But biking, not such a big deal, so maybe it's a gzeir shem yitzei chutz l'tchum. Again, it's sort of funny, you know, we don't make new gzeiras unless it's included. Chazal already thought of that gzeira. It's a big discussion when they first came with trains and buses, etc. You know, can you ride a train on Shabbos? Not drive the train, obviously. Can you ride the train on Shabbos? Or is there a gzeir shem yitzei chutz l'tchum? Because trains zip chutz l'tchum. And that's also a possibility. It's a gzeira mechudeshes, unless you want to say it's included in animals, which is the Gemara's discussion, which they really do accept, the Maskana perhaps. But it's also somewhat of a chiddush. The third reason that they bring up is ovde dechol, which is also very tricky because no one exactly knows how to define ovde dechol, right? We breathe on chol, and we walk on chol, and yet that doesn't seem to bother anyone on Shabbos. So obviously ovde dechol means something which we do on chol, which is really inappropriate for Shabbos for some reason. And it's unclear exactly what the reason is. Some people want to say because it leads to a malacha or resembles a malacha. It's not clear whether that really applies to all the cases. It's very hard also. It's one of these things that's very hard to put together. You have some things which seem sort of the chol-like, but the Gemara didn't answer. Other things which it's hard to see what's so vachtik about them, and the Gemara did aser. So it might be one of these things also where, you know, Chazal obviously understood things on a deeper level than we do. So it's hard to figure out exactly what's Ovdei D'chol v'zman hazeh. I mean, unless you take really egregious cases. It's sort of hard to figure out what's Ovdei D'chol. But since Eliezer wants to go so far, say it might be Chashim Isser D'oraisa, because he quotes Achsam Sofer, who said, riding a train. Now, I don't think this would apply to our trains. Riding a train is Isser D'oraisa, because your whole body shakes and trembles all day on the train. And the Ramban says, Shabbos and Shabbos, you have to rest on Shabbos. You can't have this exertion and terrible, terrible Shabbos. It says riding, I assume in his days, riding the trains in his days, it was like, I don't know, knock your bones out of place. So that's it. It's the right on Shabbos. It says bicycles also. You have to pedal and pedal and pedal and shake your whole goof around. So it could be a chashav and it's the right on Shabbos. Again, Chassam Sofer is talking about taking a 5-hour train ride when it bumps and shakes your bones around, not necessarily taking a 5-minute bike ride. So it could be extra. You know, if someone said, I'm going to be biking all Shabbos, like a 10-hour bike ride on Shabbos from Minneapolis to Cincinnati, and it's going to take me all Shabbos, I'm going to be exhausted, I'm going to be, my bones are weary, and a chanami. But it's hard to imagine how a 5-minute bike ride is really a chashav and isser d'oraisa. So Pash says all these reasons for riding bikes on Shabbos are very, very not clear. It's hard to say there's a pashut reason to ask for riding bikes on Shabbos, even though there are three possible reasons. But it's hard to say they're mukhra. Rav Avadya Yosef says in the end of his big discussion with Olivia Stein, he says very nicely, says, look, I'm not necessarily so convinced, especially the Rav Ta'alam was a very pashut. Iraqi Rav was Mako. But since so many poskim ask for riding bikes on Shabbos, so you have to paskin it's usher, even if maybe you're not, you don't love the logic so much, maybe there's what to be so much on, maybe you're not convinced. But at a certain point, if 99% of all the poskim say it's usher, so it's usher. That's Shmir Shabbos Kochas also says it's usher. So Lamaisa, someone asked me to prove to them that riding bikes on Shabbos is usher, I'd have a very difficult time. But if so many poskim, such a vast majority of poskim say it's usher, so you can't be matur riding bikes on Shabbos. Could be an aftamina, is it? You know, is that the first thing you have to worry about to be mitakin riding bikes on Shabbos? I don't know. I don't know if I'd say if you're a rabbi, the first thing you have to do is stop them from riding bikes on Shabbos. It might depend on the broader context, but you can't be matur riding bikes on Shabbos.
So also somebody that sometimes has become closer to Russia that bike itself is muksa, it's mishmat
la iser,
because it's made for the purpose of going out of the
home. Well, it's hard to say it's made. It's definitely. It's definitely made for Hotsah versus Harabim. The only problem is, if you live in a town with an Eruv, then it's made for Hotsah and an Eruv for you. In the Enoch Navi, if you lived in a town without an Eruv, then it would be a Klisha Machal Ish, and you wouldn't even be allowed to ride it in your backyard. Because, actually you would, because it's sort of goofy. But you wouldn't be allowed to take it out of the ring. But it doesn't matter, nowadays so many places have Eruvs, so maybe versus no home from Eruvs. Maybe if they're a Din, so that would be hard to say. Tricycles, Lamaisa, they're makel. Tricycles are very different. Certainly, you can't call it the same Ovdin Dechol. It's not like people don't take tricycles to work, and it doesn't seem very work like tricycles. The kid's toy, it doesn't have tires. They point to this, Shmir Shabbos Kochas points out. I mean, it doesn't have tires, but the tires are not inflated. The tires are solid rubber on tricycles, I believe, or plastic, or whatever it is. So it doesn't break, it's not. Anything that a 3-year-old does is a little hard to call the same. Ovdei D'chol, it's certainly not something which you would take close to the sun. So the nice what a lot of the poskim say is tricycles are fine, but bicycles are a problem. That's the policy in my house. I tell my kids, when you're old enough to ride bicycles, that's it. So when they're old enough to ride bicycles, they all of a sudden go back to tricycles on Shabbos. All right, Nunu.
What about bicycle training wheel?
What? Bicycle training wheel. Interesting. I don't know, it's hard to be matter bicycles, even though I can't say it's proven, but it's hard to be matter riding bicycles on Shabbos. Le ma'aseh. The other big discussion is, what about ladies with high-heeled shoes on Shabbos? This is the discussion of Shmir Shabbos Golchasa. This comes out of the Bir Alach and Simishan Aleph, who's just quoting the Prima God in there, who's wondering about the use of these canes with a spike on the bottom. Is that mutter or usser? In the Lama Tes Melacha book, he brings a very interesting raya that it's mutter. Right? He said, remember they were gozer sandal hamasumer because of the Maisa Shahaya when they killed each other in the cave? So it sounds like, the Maisa Shahaya once they were hiding in the cave and they had a problem because they were sandals with nails sticking out of the bottom and got it backwards, and it looked like someone came into the out of the cave when he came into the cave. Well, Nisus, there's unfortunately a stampede, and they all killed each other, and it was a terrible Nisus. They answered wearing nailed sandals on Shabbos. Sounds like it definitely made a hole in the ground, because that's how they were hiding from the Romans. They said, no one's allowed to leave the cave, because they'll give away our location. But anyone's allowed to come in. They'll look around, make sure there are no Romans, and come in. So a guy came in with his sandals that were backwards. They saw the nail pattern backwards on the floor and thought someone left. The rumor spread the Romans were attacking. They all said, let's run to the hills out of the cave. And they trampled each other and unfortunately killed each other with their... it's unclear whether they killed each other, Sandalum and Sumer, or whether they just killed each other by stampeding. So they made Xavier. But it sounds like, if not for this unfortunate incident with the Romans, it would have been wanted to wear a nailed shoe on Shabbos. It was a very nice raya. I thought it was a very nice raya. The Lama Tesla book brought that taka. It should be okay to make a hole with a nail in the ground on Shabbos. I don't know if we have... We certainly don't have sandals with nails sticking out on the bottom anymore. I don't think we have canes with nails sticking out on the bottom anymore. But we do have high heel shoes with spikes sticking out on the bottom. And those definitely make holes in the ground. They make holes in dirt. They even make holes in asphalt on... not in asphalt, but in like cheap pavement on Shabbos as well. Not like in New York City, like on the streets and the sidewalks, but if you have like a path in the bungalow colony, I remember, there was a cheap asphalt black path in the bungalow colony. Every Shabbos, the ladies with their high heels would make holes in it during the summer because the sun would melt it a little and they would make holes in it. So, is it a problem to wear high-heeled shoes? Theoretically, you could say, look, you're making a hole in the ground. But the Prima Gadim is down on this. He says, look, it's certainly it's a Gresh Dula Nichole, right? No one wants a hole in the ground in Rishas HaRabim. If you had, I don't know, some special kind of, if you had a field, you would definitely want a hole in the ground. You could drop a seed in, right? There are certain seeds which you plow and plant and other seeds which you put in holes in the ground. And, you know, maybe if you had some secret storeroom, you'd want a hole in the ground to store, I don't know, diamonds or something. But certainly in the street, no one wants a hole in the ground. It's a Gresh Dula Nichole. Bidrabanan, he's not sure about a drabanan, but then he says, look, maybe it's like a few drabanans here, right? And he doesn't use this word, but he seems to be he says, look, there's a lot of tzadim lahakel, there's makalkel, and kalachar yad, and other heterim. So Nichlei seems to be a trade drabanan, this seems to be a kalachar yad way of digging holes, by having high-heeled shoes on your feet. Definitely Mekalkel. Mekalkel, the streets have holes in it. That's and Segreshbel Nikolai. So the Bir Halacha says that he's Metzadeid Lahatir. He doesn't say Mochler, it's absolutely Mutter, but he sort of seems to lean towards saying it's Mutter. And the later Prosim seem to assume that it's Mutter. What the in the Lamatas Melacha book, he says maybe Efsher, you shouldn't like run in high heeled shoes. Because that, that does mamish, apparently, more of an action of digging, because you stick it in and you kick it out, and you're kicking all the dirt out. But he just thinks that, you know, maybe it's better not to do actual digging. But Lamaisa, we're making, I don't think most people wear high-heeled shoes anyway, so it's not such an afkamina. We're making high-heeled shoes.
Why isn't it
kovesh? So that's an interesting question. I think that may have been what underlies the Lamaisa Melacha book's chiluk, meaning he said, at least don't dig. You know, by running and kicking backwards, and you run, if you just step, it's only Kobeshes. Also, if you just step, maybe it's not a clearly the hole. Right, it's not so burr. You see, how about his case, definitely Kobeshes. It's not so clear that Kobeshes would be excluded if you're making a small hole in the ground, because it could be that when you're digging, Kobeshes is not within, like, digging. But if you're just making a hole, it could be that Kobeshes is part of making a hole. So it could be there's a difference in digging a hole and digging a furrow. That furrow is only if you dig it. A hole could be even kovetious, because otherwise they should be not to repeat this lahore.
A wheel has continuous contact with the ground.
What?
A wheel has continuous contact with the ground as opposed to a heel.
Right, maybe
walking
a different...
And
right, and maybe here it's not really so kovetious. Maybe as you're walking in and out, you do dig a little. Maybe it's not purely kovetious here. So I'm not sure. It is purely kovetious, but this kind of kovetious is different. Or maybe it's not purely kovetious. It's not a wheel. You're sticking it and going out, but every time you go out, you also move a little to the side. I think that's what Yonatan's trying to say. I think that's Asher. To finish up the Av Melacha of Choresh, there's a few other things that they also, Chazal Aser, Xer Mishamashvu Yegumos. The most practical of them is the Gemara says, I think in Erevin, so you're not allowed to play marbles. In those days, they didn't have marbles. They would play with nuts, roll the nuts on the ground. So you're not allowed to. This is in Shin Lamed Ches. What's it doing in Shin Lamed Ches? If hey, why is this Isser in Shin Lamed Ches? Shin Lamed Ches is really the Isser of Hashma'as Kol, of making noise on Shabbos. So this Machlok is actually what's the Isser of playing marbles, which in those days was nuts. The Rach holds that it's because you make noise. When they click, right, you know, the marbles, they clink against each other and make noise. And he holds anything that makes noise, even as a side effect, is Asar on Shabbos. That's a big, big, tremendous Chumrah, the Rach holds. And that's why it's doing Shin Shin Lamaches. It so happens that we don't hold like the Rach. It still got stuck in Shin Shin Lamaches. Too late to move it. But we don't hold like the Rach. We hold like the Rift. That this is not a gzera against making noise. The gzera against making noise is only if you use a specific noise-making device intended to make noise. But if you're just doing something else which happens to make noise as part of trying to do something else, like I'm trying to play a game and win the marbles by knocking them out of the circle, or however exactly the rules go, agav orcha also makes noise. That's not usher on Shabbos. It's not usher to do things which make noise, agav orcha. Right? It is usher, a little controversial, to use a knocker on the door. That's a specific noise-making thing. But just stop to slam the door really hard if I want to make sure that it closes. If it also makes noise, that's not a problem. So what's the isser of playing marbles? This is a gzeira shema yavalash riyigumos, because everyone knows to play marbles properly, you need a very flat floor. Right? Because if there's bumps in the floor, then the marble won't go. So it was a normal derech of people who play marbles to smooth out any holes in the floor so that the marble wouldn't get stuck in the hole. Or they would smooth out mounds so the marble wouldn't jump. So therefore, it's exera that since ben chol, when you play marbles, you smooth the floor, you might accidentally smooth the floor when you play marbles on Shabbos. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And ein sochkin begozim v'lo b'tapuch and chayotzebo mishom mashvuye gumos. And the Ramah adds the dafka de karka. Go is Shulchan Shari, right? They only made this exera on karka, right? We have what about a tiled karka, but Al Gabi Shulchan, it is for sure Mutter, because a Shulchan is not Tarka. There's no Gzeira. Okay, the Magen Avraham says there are some rare cases in Shas where Gozer came up to Karka, but okay, each Gzeira is special. What about indoor Karka that is tiled Karka? So here's where the Shir Shabbos Kochas want to say it's the same as Kibud. If everyone has dirt floors, but a few people have tiled floors, it's usher to play marbles. But if everyone has tiled floors, then it's mutter to play marbles indoors. And that's the Shmir Shabbos Lachos HaPasim. It's picked up by the Piskei Tshuvos, who told us that it's mutter to play marbles indoors and usher to play marbles outdoors. Even on the sidewalk outdoors. Because outdoors, you might, if you play on the sidewalk, you might play in the dirt. Indoors, all of our houses have sidewalks. Oh, really? That's a hit. Oh, hold on. That would answer our question from before. Anyone know? What? That would answer our question from before, though, I think. Our question before is why, if there's no tzorach, we make us play marbles indoors. The answer might be because Hadassah, even if wash the floors, even if we all have tiled floors, but people do wash the outside. But marbles, no one plays marbles outside. But that's a little strange. Don't people play marbles outdoors during the week?
Sure.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to look at it. Okay. Lemaisa, he's Mako indoors, he's Machmer outdoors. Out of this seems to come a big chumra that I haven't seen people nizar on Bizman Azeh. That, now, the question is, what else goes in the categories marbles? This was always a little unclear to me. Like marbles and any other games that need dice. Smooth floors. So dice don't need smooth floors. The die will land no matter what the floor looks like, right? But what needs smooth floors? Of course, baseball doesn't need such a smooth floor. What about basketball? You have to dribble. What about soccer? What about hockey? Right? I think hockey certainly needs a smooth floor. I think.
Not hockey.
What?
Nobody.
I
need to play hockey.
What? Even nowadays they would if they played marbles on the dirt floor.
You walk around with a hockey stick.
What about golf?
Sure. When I play golf, I see basketball.
Yeah, so this is a bit of a turkey, exactly how far to take this. So, in the Shmir Shabbos L'Chassa, I think he says soccer is lesser. Because soccer, you need a straight kick. Now, it's not so posh. I mean, a marble, you have a little hole, you want to fill it in. It's not so clear that in soccer, you're going to start bulldozing the landscape. I mean, a little hole is not going to stop your soccer ball, only a big change in the ground, which would be very hard to be mashva. I mean, marbles, mamas, you see. If you have a hole the size of a marble, it's going to ruin your whole game. And it's the simplest thing in the world to fill in, and any child of three could do it, and the stomach child of three would do it during the week, or women, who in their days it was very makabel for women to play games like children, even if they were adults. Now it's makabel for men to do that also, but in their days it was only makabel for women to do it. In ancient times. But, so, it's very easy. Soccer, it's a little trickier, exactly. Is it really true that you have a hole in the ground big enough to stop a soccer ball? People are going to start filling that in while they're playing soccer? It's hard to say if it's exactly the same. Shash. Lemaise, it's very hard to know what kind of games to apply this to, since they didn't really have art games in the time of Chazal. I mean, they had such things as a kador. But I don't know if they ever played with a kador on the ground, because I'm not sure if their kader was like as round as our kadurim were, like so that it would roll easily. Or they certainly didn't have bouncing kadurim. The kadurim were pillows. They just had stuffing inside. So they certainly didn't bounce kadurim. It's hard to imagine they hit kadurim with a bat. I doubt they rolled their kadurim, because although you could stuff something and get it to roll, but certainly not as nicely as our modern balls. Oh, okay, that's true. Lemasa, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. All I can tell you is the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa tells us in Perek Tes Zayin, Halacha Vav, that you should not asur ball games, but you should asur soccer. Because soccer is like marbles and other ball games are not. The minute I don't know. I see a lot of kids play soccer on Shabbos.
In Marutzah?
What? I see a lot of kids play soccer on Shabbos. Now, it could be, so I only see very, very non-from kids. I don't know. I've seen even, like, kids from good homes. I've seen them play soccer on Shabbos. It's Efshar, maybe they assume that they were only applies to marbles and not to soccer. Because soccer, no one, even during the week, could be Mashka Gumos. So I'm not sure. Lemaise, it's very hard to say. I could theoretically have said soccer is Mutter. I could theoretically have said basketball and baseball are also Usser. Even in baseball, you don't want it to, jump off a thing and then the shortstop will miss it and then, something terrible will happen to Mustafa. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa draws the line. He says soccer usher. The stummy say the same thing for hockey if he knew there was hockey, and the stummy say the same thing for golf if he knew there was golf. But other games, basketball. He knows there's basketball. Basketball, he's mocked. It's hard to tell. I'm not sure if that means you should put up a fight if kids play soccer on Shabbos. Maybe it's not so pashut. Unclear.
The Lamed Tes Malacha book didn't bring anything down about any sports when it discusses it.
The marbles. He didn't say anything about soccer or anything. Okay.
Maybe hockey would be mutter even according to Shmir Shabbos. But also because hockey's only played.
You never play on dirt.
Right, you never play on dirt.
You never know. Anyway, this is all, there's not a lot of literature on this, and in a second we'll get to why there's not so much literature on this. But this is all a bit of a, tzarech ion. It's, so that's what he quoted from Pesachim Chuvos. I didn't see it, so I have to be tzarech ion. But just to finish up the inyan of these games, the Ramah adds here that it's mutter to play with atzamos that you call shich, which are kugelach, or chamesh avanim. Any other names for the game that I should know about? I don't know. You know what kugelach and chamesh avanim are. It's mutter to play chamesh avanim. Chamesh avanim certainly you don't need flat ground for. Kugelach? You have five golden cubes, and it's like jacks, I think. You have five golden cubes, and you have to throw one up and like catch, pick up the rest and then catch it again or something. It's When I was little, I went to a very not very. I went to Yeshiva school, and everyone played Kugelach. It could be the Mannenfeld. There's not many people play Kugelach. But Kugelach goes back to my mother. Unless there's much to play Kugelach on Shabbos, even though they clink against each other when you pick them up. Again, because we hold against Reina Chananel, like the riff, that as long as you're not trying to make a clinking sound, and that's just a side effect of playing the game, that's fine. He says for sure, I mean, this is, we would probably think this is intuitive, but he tells us, not everyone agreed to this, but the Ramah says, but if you're playing for bets, not only for betting money, but even for betting like the marbles or whatever, then that's usher, because that's like Mecca Chamemkar. It's a form of business to play with winning, you know, with gaining and losing on Shabbos, that's for sure. But you shouldn't be mochin nashim k'tanim, because they're not going to listen anyway. Okay, that's apparently in their day, the nashim k'tanim wouldn't listen to not play any games on Shabbos. Again, that's a minhag which nowadays some gedolim, even a nashim gedolim, also don't listen to anything that has to do with games on Shabbos. Lemaisa, what's interesting is if you read the Ramah here, basically there are certain chashos that come up in games. A, marbles has a problem with Ashuri Gumos, and we had sorting in on other ball games. B, you're not allowed to play for money. How far do you take that not allowed to play for money? The Shmir Shabbos Nochasa quotes some machlokas about this. He said that some poskin, the Torah Shabbos said you're not even allowed to play games which have fake money. Moshe Zalman Aruch says you can play for fake money. I mean, that's just a way to play the game. So that's unclear. Like Monopoly. Monopoly is among the Torah Shabbos Asard, and Shlomo Zalman Aruch said Monopoly's fine. That's, everyone knows that you're not actually betting anything. The other issue that comes up, third halachic issue that comes up in games, is the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes here from Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa here, quotes from the Chai Adam, that a game where you have to keep score is usher, it's the Gzeira Shema Yichtov. And again, this is one of these cases, do we make new Gzeiros? But over here it seems like a much easier case to make a new Gzeira, because there are so many Gzeiros in Chazal that you're not allowed to have a list of Orchim, because you might erase or add to it. You know, the Chazal did Aser a lot of like Iyun and things which you might write, so you could say it's Bechlal. Anyway, the Chai Adam, he quotes here, Aser is games where you have to write down the score. Let's say, I'm going to memorize the score. Gzeira ought to, that you might come to keep score. That was why that's one of the big Scrabble issues, besides the code save, and that's why people got the Scrabble with the scoring racks on Shabbos, because then they didn't keep score even Mosachol. If you have scoring racks, why would anyone write down the score? It would be no having me to write down the score. So that's why they invented these scoring racks. However, these are all, yeah.
With writing a list, is there any issue if they only have a list that we're going to serve all our Shabbos meals?
This is a big issue, the woman's list for the Shabbos meal. We'll have to get to it. But Lemaisa, let's just very, very, very briefly finish up this Indian. There are three halachic issues that come into play. There are three halachic issues that come into play with games. Again, Ashri Gumos, Shema Yichtov, and the issue of betting. Then there's also a halachic, hashtafik, some borderline issue. If you read in the Shulchan Aruch, he seems to have no hashtafik or general problem with playing games on Shabbos. Over here, the Ramah says it's okay. I mean, unless you're doing one of the Xavis, like you're playing for money, then it's just a motzvah you showed him. He has no problem with games. When it comes to the Kador, the Ramah says, we paskin, it's mutter to play ball on Shabbos, a ball is not mutzah. The Machaber said a ball is mutzah, we hold the ball is not mutzah. He had no problem playing ball on Shabbos. Apparently, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, had no fundamental problem with games on Shabbos. Some of the Achronim, or started to have more fundamental hashkafic problems with playing ball on Shabbos. The Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah quote here from the Maharash, the Ras Sosson, that says that, look, just like we are only Mati, he points out in the sugya of a telescope or Matar telescope on Shabbos because it's good to know science. Ah, but these things, the whole skill of Chamesh Avanim, so it's not good to know. It doesn't increase your Torah Mada. So therefore, he says it should be maybe also on Shabbos. And in general, the Mishnah points out that Kol Minei Sfot should be Asur on Shabbos, because there's no Torah or Chochmah in them, there's no Toelos in them. So maybe everything with no Toelos is Asur on Shabbos, even though so far as to suggest, maybe everything with no Toelos is Asur on Chol. Again, in modern day society, we have this notion that entertainment is a very fundamental need, or leisure entertainment is some fundamental need. It's not clear that just because they have that notion in contemporary society that that automatically makes it a true notion. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume, again, this becomes a very hashgafic issue, that, look, something which is just for entertainment has no need is probably Asur on Shabbos and probably Asur on Chol as well. The Aruch HaShulchan also talks very harshly against playing ball on Shabbos. Says, look, the Medrash says that Yerushalayim is destroyed, so they play ball on Shabbos. Now, I mean, Lachora, the Medrash is referring to the fact there's no Erev in Yerushalayim during the time of Bayis Sheni. But the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say, you know, it's a Chiddush, Lachora, that just the Etzem playing ball on Shabbos is not appropriate for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yontov also points out that there are those who suggest maybe you shouldn't play ball on Yontov without an Erev because it's just shtus. Although, there it doesn't necessarily ask for playing ball in an Erev. Lemaisa, many of the Afronim said, Al Pi Ashkafa, it's just certainly on Shabbos, it's not a proper thing. Maybe for Nashim V'Ktanim, maybe nowadays it wouldn't even be a cool for Nashim, since women are so educated, maybe they also shouldn't be playing ball on Shabbos. But Lemaisa, it definitely seems to be hashkafically inappropriate to play ball, even though the Mechaber and the Mar didn't say anything. But especially some of the Achronim, and especially the B'derech HaMusar, said, look, that's very borderline appropriate on Chol, certainly not appropriate on Shabbos. And the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa says very nicely, he says, the whole chapter, I'm going to write it for designing about games on Shabbos, he says, Rotzer Sheyim Nematzvim Yitzvah Shabbos, anyone over Bar Mitzvah, it is proper, it is better to not play games on Shabbos. He says he's very medactic in his formulation. He says he can't say it's usher to play games on Shabbos, because clearly all the posts assume it's mutter in all their discussions, and even though the Mishnah Berurah quotes those who are choshes, that doesn't seem to be the majority shita. But he says, look, it's certainly, I don't think anyone would say it's a mitzvah to play games on Shabbos, so it's proper not to play games on Shabbos, but you shouldn't necessarily go out and tell people it's mamish and isher to play games on Shabbos.
So when you put out the game, it's like a game that requires thinking and intelligence, like chess. Skills.
Right, although you don't actually learn anything from it. How about just building up your thinking skills? It's an interesting Indian. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
the Gedolim were very into chess, apparently, some of the Litvish Gedolim, although I don't know if they played on Shabbos or not. Rosh Hashanah, I thought that was. What he said, how terrible it is. Oh, maybe that was Shabbos. Then this is the story had a strong relation. Anyway, Lemaisa, it's better not to play games on Shabbos, except for Ketanim, who obviously don't know any better. But it's improper. Although you wouldn't say it's mamish a violation of Shabbos, play games on Shabbos, and then we're not going to get really into them. There are two other gzeiros Chazal made because of Shvuyi Gumos. They said if you have a warehouse, storehouse, you shouldn't empty out this storehouse of wheat on Shabbos because that'll reveal the floor. And it was a derech when you emptied out your storehouse to then smooth out the floor, and you might forget to do that on Shabbos. Not so common nowadays. I guess if you have a shed on dirt, you shouldn't clean out your shed because you might accidentally smooth out the floor once you see the floor in all its glory. And they talked about in the old days when you used to go to the bathroom in the outdoors how you shouldn't go to the bathroom, meaning gedolim, in a plowed field on Shabbos. Because people used to like, when they went to the bathroom in a plowed field, I guess it was derech, I don't know if it's covered up or something, to smooth out the holes, so they made a gzera for that also. But again, these are things that are not so shkiach, not as shkiach as manazah. Okay, the makoros for kotzer are on my shtender downstairs. My shtender is just to the left of the Aron Kodesh. There's no real room for me to use it anymore, because Baruch Hashem, the Beis Medrash has gotten much more populated. So for now, I'm just keeping it to the left of the Aron Kodesh to put Makoros on. So whenever you need anything for Rav Aronshi, or for the Hilchos Shabbos, or for the Gemara Chavura, look on the Shtender, and I'll generally have a supply of Makoros there. In Parshas Kitzeitze, just a lot of interesting things, but I'll tell you a very nice insight from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. He said, what's pshat in this mitzvah of shaleach shach sa'engis b'nitzikach tikach loch? Right, but that means the philosophy of the Rambam, etc. And it clearly seems to have something to do with Rachmanis, etc. What exactly is this? How does it exactly build up our midah of of Rachmanis. But it's not that the mother shouldn't see her babies taken away. I mean, you're chasing her away, she's flying up there, you take away her babies. Right? It seems to maybe some suggest Achzorius, if you kill the mother and the babies, that's really a cruel thing to do. Okay, so why do you dafka send away the mother and take the babies?
Why not send away, take the mother and
leave the babies? So he suggests that maybe it's that, what's shot in the mother? The babies, why are the babies there? Because they don't know how to fly yet. They're stuck in the tree. The mother, you can't normally catch birds with your hands because they fly. I mean, if you have a gun, maybe. But you can't catch birds with your hands. Cause as soon as, right, you know, the pigeons, when you walk on the sidewalk, as soon as you come within Dalet Amos, they fly away. So what's shot? This mother bird, of course, could never be caught by you because she would fly away. But she loves her children so much that she sacrifices herself to try to protect her children. She says, maybe I can protect my children, so I'm going to stay here even though I see a human being who's trying to hunt me nearby. So this mother bird is sacrificing herself for the sake of others, for the children. What's going to be? If you take the mother bird, then what you're saying is, anyone who sacrifices themselves for others is a friar, right? And ends up losing. And you submit within yourself the lesson, you put yourself out for other people, you just end up losing and being worse off. Rather, if you send that, it gives you a meat of achzoris, because you train yourself to believe that whenever you sacrifice yourself for other people, you end up being a loser. Rather, if you send away the mother bird, you say, look, I have respect for your self-sacrifice for your children, and because of that, I'm going to let you go, because I respect so much the idea that you should sacrifice your own safety for the sake of someone else, for the sake of your babies, that I can't take advantage of that weakness to catch you. Therefore, you train yourself in the midah of Rachmanis, because you say that Rachmanis is something which you can respect even in Ophos, Kavachomer, in Bnei Adam. There's a mice like this once in Yerushalayim, right? There's a fight between different factions or something. There's one of the Rabbanim who had a karo from the secularists and would always like to house them in his house and etc. So the other guy's going to be a farsim, see, he hangs out with the secularists and the chuli, and so and they're going to use that as ammunition in their war. He says, you're violating the law of Shiloh HaKeim. This guy, of course, you think he enjoyed having a secularist in his house? Just saw Chalot HaSal. He said, look, after Rahman is my own flesh and blood, maybe I can retire from him. But if you take advantage of that and say, I caught you now because of your Rahmanis and your soft heart, I can now get you in the battle, and you're violating Shiloh HaKeim.